Hey everyone, really nice to see. We've got a lush little group here, some more people joining as I speak. Really nice to see everyone. Hope you're well. Hope you're good. I'm loving me. We were chatting before I hit record, and Mary's coming to us live from her garden with a fire in the very early morning. I'm just like, this is so cool. Apparently it's South Relief School's fault that she's now howling at the moon. So I'm loving that. I'm loving that so much. Hey Sharon, nice to see you. Really
Hello.
cool. Really cool. So let's spend just a moment kind of getting here, and then we'll see what arises. Yeah. So I just invite you to feel your feet flat on the floor. Just know that the earth is supporting you. You're being held. Just let your body relax. Invite your belly to soften. Feel the weight of your body in your seat. Give yourself a moment to breathe. If you want to let your shoulders slump, your jaw soften. Just bring your attention to your breath. This miraculous process that you don't even have to think about. Come down into your heart. Just notice if there's anything here today with us. Maybe you've had a really peaceful morning. Maybe it's been a bit discombobulating. But whatever's here, just breathe into it. Nothing has to change. For you to be okay. Just thank yourself for showing up today for you, your own growth, this lovely community. Just know that whatever you want to bring today is so welcome. If you've got something to celebrate, something to share, a challenge that's eating away at you, it's all there, all welcome. So give your toes a wiggle. When you're ready, just come back into the room. Nice. So this is the very last day of my 40s. I am turning 50 tomorrow.
Feels like it's been forever. You're talking about
I
it for about 3 years.
know. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I was told once by an astrologer that my 50s were going to be my best decade. I hope that not that that's it doesn't kind of go downhill from there then. But yeah, I'm very excited. So I'm yeah, and it's really interesting because I have been doing a bit of work on this. I realized a while ago, actually, that my family didn't really value birthdays. Like, we got acknowledged, but it was usually like you got a card and maybe a gift, and you maybe got your favorite dinner cooked for you. But that was kind of it. Like, there wasn't a big fuss made. And I've always found birthdays a little bit embarrassing. Like, yay, you stayed alive for another year. Good work. And I can remember when I was at, in a corporate environment, there's always someone's bloody birthday, and there's an endless kind of circulation of cards, and you're like, hey to the bald guy in accounts, congrats. Like, people you don't even really know, you're expected to kind of celebrate. And I always found it kind of annoying. Anyway, I've realized that I think I found that embarrassing because I was never encouraged or experienced like just celebrating yourself just for existing, right? Like that's really what a birthday is. You celebrate your birthday is, oh, hang on a second. Hannah's giving me some wisdom here. You're heading into your third house, which has a lot of things about communication, siblings, and learning. Oh, goodness. That's lovely. Thank you, Hannah. I didn't realize you knew all of this. Amazing. So what I've realized is that's all kind of connected, right? So if like me, you tend, your self-doubt comes up with overwork, it may be that there is a link to how were you celebrated? Like, how did you learn to celebrate yourself? Because if there was a condition attached, right, you've done something good, you've worked hard, you've achieved something, therefore you've earned that celebration, then you may find it kind of uncomfortable to just celebrate really small things or things like birthdays, for example. It's all bloody connected, isn't it? So I've just found that quite fascinating. And my partner is a month older than me. So he's just turned 50. And our birthdays are literally like 29 days apart. So we've sort of had this month of like celebrating our joint 50th, which has been really fun. But he is so much better at the celebration thing. And he's between projects at the moment. He's works in IT and is a project manager. And so yesterday I came downstairs and he had like made these amazing raspberry tarts. He's a bit of an amateur cook. And he was like, oh, these are birthday tarts. I was like, this is amazing. Like, and he's like, let's have afternoon tea together. And I was just like, this is freaking cool. Like, just allowing that to be really sweet and have some joy with it is kind of fun. So I don't really know what my point is. All to say, I think how we celebrate ourselves is kind of interesting, right? It tells us a bit about our relationship to celebration. What, you know, whether we think we deserve it or not, you know, and how where we've learned that from. So that was kind of what's on my mind right now. So I thought I would share that. I don't know if anyone wants to respond or share back if you resonate with that or if you've had a very different experience, like very open.
Yeah, I that definitely resonated with me because I'm at the other end of the scale. I don't do birthdays. I don't, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I just don't. And I think because of that reason, you know, nobody ever in the family does birthdays either because they kind of go, I mean, I might get a card if I'm lucky, but I can't, do you know what I mean? But I'm okay with that. I don't, and I never realised until you said that, that's probably because of the way I was brought up and kind of like, yeah. We didn't kind of do birthdays either really. Yeah. And it would seem as a bit excessive if you did kind of.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I've never thought about that before until you just said that.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know, Sharon, like, how do you feel about just celebrating yourself generally?
Yeah, not really.
Mm. Not great. Me too, it feels really freaking awkward, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
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 Anyone else want to share what's coming up for you? How did your family treat birthdays? Yeah, celebrating in general, Esther. I think that's the thing, right? It's like, I remember having a flatmate at university who he was just, I mean, Gus was, he was such a dude. He's a really like prominent lawyer in New Zealand now, which makes me laugh so much. He had a tendency to sleepwalk and he slept naked and it just, oh my God, if people only knew. Anyway, great guy. But he was such a good like celebrator of life. He was just one of those people that everything was a party. Sometimes, you know, I mean, we were in our 20s and we all made silly decisions, but I think I learned a lot from spending, you know, I think we ended up flatting together. I think we were the only constants for a couple of years, and we had various other flatmates that kind of came in and out. But he was so like relaxed about celebrating anything. You know, he just had a real kind of enthusiasm for life. But I remember finding it, until I sort of adjusted to his energy, I found him really extra, as the kids would say now. Like, it was almost like too much. Like, you know, just calm down. And he was always saying to me, you know, "Sass man, come on, we're alive. You know, let's make memories." And I'd just be like, "Dude, like, no." But yeah, he was great for that. And I think there is something about people who are good, who find it really natural to celebrate existence, being alive, that we often might find, you know, some kind of awkwardness around if we find the opposite to be true. Yeah, Issa, I love that. Can you say more about that? You like the idea about this being linked to receiving. Yeah, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, I just think it actually takes quite a lot of, I don't want to say skill, but capacity somehow to receive in that way, because celebrating is actually quite intense potentially.
Yeah.
And I feel as though if you're celebrating, it's a process of receiving, but also in that receiving, there's some activation in your system. And I think not all of us are in a position to hold that. Yeah. That's just my feeling of that.
I'm with you. I think receiving generally can be really tricky for a lot of us.
Yeah. And it's all that stuff around, you know, worthiness.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I deserve this?
Yeah.
Do I deserve these good things?
Yeah. I think this is one of the reasons why I always think we need to be mindful of that risk of success, you know, the risk of good things happening. Right. Sometimes that can feel like a lot to hold. And it is absolutely connected with, you know, how I use the general term of success, but it can be anything to do with receiving, good things happening, luck even, you know. There's some really interesting research about imposter syndrome that suggests folks who, you know, really identify with that feeling of being an imposter will often put any good fortune down to luck. It's like it wasn't any, even though they're probably working quite hard, right? It's like they don't attribute that hard work or that effort. It's, I just got lucky. Really interesting. Who's got something they want to bring today? Why'd you all show up? Hello. And Sharon, I think you were going to put your hand up as well. Yep. Okay, cool. So let's start with you. Hi.
Hi. It's nice to be here. I don't usually manage the Wednesday calls, but I've taken a day off work. Partly not feeling so good, but also that thing of being like, actually, it's okay to take time off. I really had to give myself a bit of a talking to this morning to be like, I can have a sick day. I have noticed I've gone from very much over-functioning tendencies to under-functioning. And I think it was partly kind of letting myself relax a bit and taking the pressure off and being kinder to myself with how I was kind of, yeah, just massively over-functioning. And now I'm really seeing that my self-doubt's coming on the other side of the spectrum, and I'm becoming more of a bystander.
Right.
I rewatched the different. What are they called?
The protectors.
Yes.
Yeah.
I rewatched that yesterday, and it just came as a bit of a surprise because I think when I first went through the course, I was really highly activated, kind of in more in that side of it. So yeah, I've noticed that. And I've also noticed that I just have this pattern of getting to a certain level of like self-development and doing well and feeling quite good. And then I do something that's quite self-sabotaging and I know that I'm doing it. And I just really want to break out of that habit. And I know that I'm at a point where I'm aware of it now. So I think it is moving. And I'm definitely, over this last year, I've made so much progress. But it's like that little hurdle of knowing that the things that I'm doing are like, it's just habit and it's just a way that I'm protecting myself. But yeah, lots of bits that are coming up. But I just think it's interesting, this kind of real swing from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, is that quite common? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter if it isn't, but yeah.
I think this is really fascinating. I personally really relate to this. Like once I've let go of that over-functioning tendency, it's almost like I had a period of a lull where I kind of was like, well, now I don't know what to do. Right? Mm. Like now I don't have the energy to do much. So yeah. I'm not sure what the balance is.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, Hannah, if it was a conscious choice you made to sort of start interrupting that over-functioning.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a real kind of perfectionistic tendencies that I have had. And the more I was becoming aware of them and seeing them in people that I was around as well, particularly at work.
Right.
And really noticing sort of workaholic behaviour. And being like, actually, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And kind of taking myself out of that. I kind of feel like I have gone to more of being like, yeah. But then again, it's like, maybe these are just things that are coming off being telling myself that I'm being lazy when I'm not. Like, maybe I am just actually not overworking anymore. And I've put some boundaries in with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's my sort of critic being like, you should be doing this because everybody else is, when actually I've noticed that it's quite dysfunctional.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing to recognize is we're all part of systems, right? That's just the way that we exist. We're very much part of the systems that we exist in. So it sounds like in your work environment, in that context, overfunctioning is prized. I get a lot out of it if everybody's overfunctioning. And that is very common, right? So a lot of people, when they start looking at this pattern, will be like, oh, I've been rewarded for all of that for so long. Now I'm not sure, you know, where do I get my validation from if I haven't overworked, right?
Yeah. And actually, I ended up, I've quit my job. I'm in the process of moving work. Because of this kind of acknowledgement of being like, this work culture is actually quite toxic for me. And I think kind of leaning more into what it is that I value and yeah, just being like, I like the job, but actually it's not working for me. So that's been quite, it's been quite a big thing to work through.
Yeah.
But I think that's where my sort of self-doubt's coming up of being like, okay, I'm not going to overfunction. And now I'm worried that I'm going to be under-functioning and I'm taking on a new role with more responsibility and I'm nervous because I don't want to go back into that. I'm a gardener. So it's in terms of like the corporate world, it's not that. I've gone from being within a team and now I'm going to be a sole head gardener on my own. So I've got like full capacity to be able to decide how I show up to work, which was a big reason why I made this decision. But it is also the flip side of being like, it's just me.
Yeah.
And I need to be careful that I don't go into that overfunctioning, but I'm nervous because I'm like, I'm in this space now where I don't work over my hours and I've sort of, I've put more boundaries in place. And I think it's just this thing that's coming up with this like, anticipation of a new job and how do I take care of myself so that I'm like balancing.
Yeah. Well, and what you're describing is that kind of all or nothing thinking that often comes up, right? It's like, well, if I'm not this, then I must be the opposite. So if I'm not overworking, then I must be kind of, you know, lazy. Right? Mm. And actually, you know, what can be more helpful is to come to a more balanced, healthy place where, and I kind of love that you have chosen a role where you have all this autonomy. It's such a great playground for what does it look like if you are in that healthy, balanced place. And it sounds like you've got a lot of autonomy to make that real.
Yeah.
And a lot of this, I think, is, you know, whenever we're working with a bystander, we want to counteract that by moving a little bit further around the compass to self-belief, right? And self-belief is all about your vision, your values, encouraging yourself along the way. It's, you know, it's very much about, you know, you are the leader of your life.
Mm.
So when it comes to this new role, you've got a kind of compass point, if you like. You can lean into, you know, what are your values? How do they get expressed through this role? When you imagine yourself at a really healthy, balanced place, what are you doing? How are you spending your day? What time do you leave? Like, that's going to give you some really helpful kind of guidelines for how you set yourself up in this new role to really kind of achieve that balanced place.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's almost like I need to give myself some time to kind of visualize an ideal working day from like a really healthy perspective or something, and kind of get clear on what it is that I'm entering into from like the best perspective.
Yeah, like when you imagine that, like just going, oh, I can just do that. I can go in and have a little think about, sort of daydream about my ideal working day in this new job. But how does that feel in your body just to imagine yourself doing that?
So settled, like it's just so much clearer as well, because I think I have, like, I think one of my tendencies is with new things, I just always go to worst case scenario thinking rather than being like, actually, particularly with work and with jobs, I think I just assume that I'm not going to do a good job, even though I've got like a full work history of that being exactly the opposite. So yeah, I think I sort of need to remind myself that I am qualified and capable, which is bonkers, isn't it? That like you can give yourself such a bizarre narrative when actually all the evidence is just not that.
Yeah. And it's, I think exactly what you're saying is I am capable, I'm qualified, like, this is my work. I'm good. Like sometimes we just need to hear that a couple of thousand times.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think I just let myself allow myself to like carry on learning as well, because I think I have something about, particularly with maybe levels of authority, which I just assume that they're going to know everything or that I have to know everything.
Yeah.
And I'd be so... like it's part of the working life is that we develop, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I think it's just something about like, once you get to a certain point, you have to have everything. You have to have this like source of knowledge for every single question that you're ever going to be asked.
Well, that's the perfectionist in you, right?
Yeah.
Who's assuming that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I need to give that a little bit of grace as well and be like, Google exists. Like I can.
Yeah.
I can always Google things if absolutely need to.
And the thing to remind yourself is, look, I'm the head gardener. I'm, you know, I've already done the work to get to this role.
Yeah.
I don't need to prove myself.
I think that's where I'm struggling as well, of like, I don't believe that I'm ready.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, I just got the job by accident.
And it was luck.
yeah, of being like, well, maybe they just couldn't find anybody else and it worked at the time. And you know, I somehow have landed this position and it's the most money I've ever been paid in my life and that scares the hell out of me. And just things like that of being like, I'm not going to be able to step up to what it is that they're expecting of me.
Right.
Even though on paper, my responsibilities, I'm like, yeah, I can do it.
All of that is great information for the beliefs that might be underneath some of this worry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you come back to that feeling of calm, settled, I can daydream about what my ideal day looks like. I'm going to get a sense of the values that can support me, the beliefs that will support me, how I can encourage myself, the things I need to hear a few thousand times, right, to counteract that long-standing perfectionist that sounds like, you know, you've had a long history of talking to yourself in a way that suggested, you know, you weren't doing enough and you weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting to let that go and build a new relationship with yourself. So this is the perfect opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
A homework invitation for you, Hannah, if you
love homework,
because you might enjoy that. Yeah, I thought you might like some homework. You could listen to the Meet Your Sovereign visualization. Yes. Have a nice bubble bath while you do it, or something, and use that to sort of imagine your future day.
Yeah.
I think I do it for a year in the future, but you can just do it for, you know, when you start your new job. And just if it gets too specific for you or whatever, you can just turn it off and just let your mind go. But that might get you into that energy of
that's a really good one. Actually, I just remembered the last time I listened to that, I was on holiday and all of it was about working on my own. So it's quite nice. It's sort of like I'm coming full circle. So I need to do it again and like actually vision that. Yeah. I think at the time there was a lot of work politics stuff, so I was like, oh, fuck this, I just want to be...
Yeah, I love it. Sounds like the perfect time to re-listen if you've already what you're imagining back then. Yeah,
that's really helpful. Thank you so much, Seth.
You're so welcome. Yeah, you know, I'm continuously fascinated by what our subconscious knows and wants. You're the second person this week, Hannah, who said, oh, well, last time I listened to this, I wanted that. Now I have that, right?
Nice.
I was talking to someone yesterday who she's actually training to be a self-belief coach. And we worked together. She was my client in a one-to-one coaching relationship about 6 years ago. And she was one of the first people that I tried the courage-based planning process with. And she said, I found my first plan, my first courage-based plan. She said, I made it. And then I forgot about it. And I kind of beat myself up about all the, you know, all the tasks on it that I wasn't doing. And she said, you know what? I've made all of those things happen.
Mm.
And, yeah. You know, I always think when that happens, it's usually because the goal was kind of inevitable because your subconscious was heading in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think about fate and destiny a bit, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also a really I've really felt recently that I need to like get a bit clearer about what I'm doing and where I'm going and what it is that I want, because you know that thing when actually you give yourself a bit of time to think about what it is that you want and then things do kind of align better. I've noticed that it has been a bit fuzzy, so like I think doing this would be really helpful to just get it clear.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. It's great. And I love what Esther was saying. Yeah, it's like the sustainability of where's the balance, you know, that's exactly it. Esther, bravo. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, Mary, 38 years of your current profession, more comfortable than ever saying that. I don't know. I'll look into it. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
That's a really beautiful point, Mary, because I think one of the things I've really struggled with the head gardener I've been working with is she really, it's painful to see when you're doing this work that you know that someone's so trapped in that level of perfectionism, but she absolutely cannot be wrong or not know the answer to anything. Mm-hmm. And I just would much rather someone in the level of authority just say, I don't know, should we find out together? Because that kind of like constant like, oh, I have to be right. And it has got to the point where actually like it's really nice when someone does say, I don't know the answer to that. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And Yeah, go for it, Mary.
May I just say something? So I was, for better or for worse, married to a barrister lawyer for 25 years. And he taught me that in that profession, they never know the answer. And they charge you to look it up and learn about it. So that's where I got that first, like, aha, maybe I don't need to know everything. But also, I find that it allows for so much more creativity. And I think of your profession as this incredible mix of science and mystery and magic. And that I don't know says, wow, there's more here. And I've loved embracing I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. There is a lot of I do biodynamic gardening. So there's a lot of magic in there. It's like,
yeah,
you do have to lean into all of the cosmos and the planetary influences. So yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I love that so much. Yeah. Yeah, that is so fun, Mary. They pay you. You pay them to help them figure it out. That's such a great reminder. I love it so much. Yeah. And, you know, to me, what you're both describing really is the difference between someone who sees leadership from the lens of a critic, right? I've got to know, I've got to be right, I've got to know enough, you know, all of that, versus someone who sees leadership from the lens of a sovereign. Like, I kind of will lean into what I can figure out here. It's, you know, I have a value of curiosity, so I'm going to just play with it. Yeah, so good. So, so good. And yeah, I love that, Esther. Wouldn't it be sad to feel you knew everything? Well, and that's the thing about perfect people, like people who really like embrace that. To me, it's almost like now I can sense the rigidity of that. Like it feels quite brittle to me. It's a weird kind of sensation I have when I'm around people who have that kind of very highly strung sort of perfectionist tendency. And they're super hard to relate to because you feel like, ooh, yeah, love that, Esther. Yeah, super hard to be around. Yeah, there's not much like humanity in that, you know. I feel like, oh, you can soften, it's okay. I don't care if you know what you know, that's the least interesting thing about you in lots of places, you know. Yeah, love it. Love it. Isn't it interesting that I guess just to kind of bring it back to that subconscious, like sometimes our bodies know who, you know, how other people, where other people are at. You know, you can kind of sense into that. So, you know, just knowing, oh, it's hard to be around that person. It's usually because you are sensing into kind of where they're at. You know, yeah, our bodies are just so bloody wise and intelligent and mysterious. Yeah. Really cool. Hannah, that was lush. I'm so excited for your new role and all your magical plants. Cool. Sharon, let's come to you.
Hello. I just want to share something that I think I'm quite proud of myself this morning, because had a little incident in our community. So I think we have spoken about this person before, Sass, but there's somebody in my community who basically we run events. They were in the pandemic, well, pre-pandemic, they were live. Then obviously they were virtual for 2 years, and now we've gone back to live again. And they've always, pre-pandemic, they were always in the middle of the country, so that, you know, that's the fairest place, everybody, you know, can get to them kind of thing. But there's one person who lives there very far north, and he's just continually complaining about the fact that these events are, you know, are somewhere where she says that she can't get to. We all know that that isn't true, because if she really wanted to get to them, then she could just get on a plane, and the airport is right next to the, you know, it's 10 minutes taxi from the airport and all this kind of going on. Anyway, but she is continually coming into the Facebook and just complaining, and just like just dig, making little sarky comments about, you know, whatever. And yesterday, somebody else in the group took it upon themselves to organise a kind of online kind of get together thing without kind of asking me or whatever. They just did it. Okay, that's what they want to do. They did that. this person didn't even go to this event, but yet made a comment in the group to say about, oh, yeah, you know, because somebody has said it was really nice to get together online. And she said, and she basically said, yes, I know, because those of us who live far away are being unfairly disadvantaged, I feel, or, you know, whatever. And I kind of like saw that. By the way, we do have online events. Twice a month we have online events. And the irony is that she never goes to them, right? Okay, so that, do you know what it is? There's all this going on. And she has a history of like not turning up for things. She just doesn't, you know, she's always too busy and all this kind of thing. And so this has like kind of been going on for ages. And like, I saw the comment last night and immediately I was kind of like going, oh my God, oh my God. And I was getting like all upset and everything. But I didn't do anything. And then this morning I woke up, went to the gym, and then I was full of kind of like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Right. My choices are, I can go into the group and start explaining myself, justifying myself, saying that I feel upset, this, that. Or I can do a Facebook Live and I can sort of go through my reasons again, why we don't do this, And I was doing all this sort of stuff. And I just drove back from the gym and I just thought, why? Why would you do that? Why? I'm not going to do any of that because, you know, it's her stuff. I've got nice things happening today. I'm going to have a good day. And I'm just not going to go down that road. And I told myself, because that is my choice to do that. And I am choosing not to engage with this person and making the whole thing worse, because the only person who would be upset about that would be me. Mm. You know, she's probably not giving a second thought. I'm not getting myself into a continual tizzy and doing the usual thing of bending over backwards, trying to please people, overgiving and say, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. So. So I'm feeling pleased with myself this morning. So I've come here, you know, and I've not really been, other than what I've been sharing with you just now, I've not really been thinking about it. I'm just going to get on with what I'm going to get on with today. And she wants to complain, then she can go and do it, because I'm sorry, but that's it. So.
Amazing. You know, Sharon, there's a couple of things I just want to like reflect back. First of all, just how you've given yourself choices, right? When you came back from the gym, you were like, okay, what are my actual choices here? What, you know, what do I want to do? I think that's like giving yourself that pause so you can make a decision rather than react. Yeah. Is, you know, that's, to me, that is a sacred pause, you know, that moment where you go, hang on a minute, what do I want to do here? What are my choices here? And then making an active choice. That is, I think that's really like very healthy self of you. Mm. And, you know, I guess the other thing I want to reflect back to you is I've just witnessed over the last year how your courage to really look at these patterns of people pleasing and trying to keep everyone happy, like how freaking exhausting that is.
Yes.
And how you are, you know, continuously like learning, I have choices, I can do things differently, I don't have to respond in this way. Like, to me, this just feels like such a positive shift that you're making. So bloody bravo.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not all the way there, but I can definitely feel the change, because I know that like before, I would literally have been wasting, and that's the thing, wasting so much energy on it all. For what? You know, it's like I've got to look after myself and kind of like, and I know in my heart as well, because I am, do consider myself to be a fair person, and I know that I have been fair and I've done all of these things, and this is completely unwarranted. And I think previous I would have gone into the kind of the usual, oh, what have I done, and I'm like, well, I haven't done anything. That's kind of, so just let it go, do you know what it is, let it go.
Yeah.
Kind of, I'm not gonna let it invade my space. you know.
Well, and this is one of the things, like there are, I might do a workshop actually on conflict styles, because I think sometimes that can be really fun to sort of explore. But one of the conflict styles is to avoid conflict.
Yeah, and we usually see that.
Yeah, and we usually yeah. see that as like a kind of like a bad thing, right? Like avoiding conflict is always bad. Like we should have more courage and all that jazz. And actually, I think there's some real intelligence and strength in avoiding conflict when there is either not much trust or a big, you know, like a history of a relationship there. Then actually, avoiding conflict can be the smartest thing to do. Right, like to just go, you can have your experience over there, and I'm going to be over here.
Yeah.
And I think what you're, you know, demonstrating is that in this case, it feels like that was a really good decision to make. And you know, the other thing that can happen is it frees up some of that energy. You could, if you wanted to, and I'm not suggesting that this is necessary, but you could start to go, I wonder what it is that she wants. Like actually put yourself in this person's shoes or even have a conversation with her where you say, what is it? I'm noticing there's a lot of chatter from you about kind of feeling like you're being disadvantaged. And I'm just curious to know, what is it that you want?
Yeah. I did think that was one of the options to say, well, if you were me, what would you do then? What do you, you know, what do you suggest? But then I thought, oh, no, that's going to, I don't want to go there.
And I think the difference between asking what would you do in my shoes versus what do you want is you're giving her responsibility for her own experience.
Yeah.
Right. So just saying, what is it that you want?
Mm.
Because if she wants more connection, it's like, okay, cool. So here's how you can get more connection. You can come to the online sessions, blah, blah, blah. But you're giving her that responsibility.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ironically, I did say that she could be the local leader for her area. And she took that on board, but she never organised anything and she gave it up because she said she was too busy.
Right.
So do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of
you
know, she's just a, you know.
So that's the thing to notice, right, is, oh, okay, when it comes to that person, the best way to manage it is to just avoid it.
I think so.
Yeah.
And if she really wanted to do that, why doesn't she come and speak to me in private? She doesn't need to put it in the Facebook group just because it's all playground stuff, you know, which is...
But also, I would offer, I mean, I think Mary's made such a beautiful point in the chat, you know, that believe people when they tell you who they are, like, and trust your body to know as well.
Thank you, Mary, yeah.
But I also think, like, don't assume that other people aren't reading her notes and going, bloody hell.
To be honest, I have had a few little messages about it going, for God, she's off again.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, other people will be seeing that and going, oh, mate. So it may actually be that this is how she shows up in her whole life, right? And so unless she wants to pay you for coaching to resolve that, then that's her business. So,
yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, the point is, and why I wanted to share that was because it just feels so much better to choose that rather than getting myself all and something that would like totally ruin the next few days because I'd be all up in my head about it. So, you're quite grown up, actually.
Bloody great. And you're healthy adult self, Sharon. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Take me long enough. So but...
Oh, it's so good. And, you know, what you said earlier about, you know, I'm not quite there yet. I think, for a lot of us, this is lifelong work. You know, there isn't a there. There's just more people. Thanks so much for sharing. That's beautiful.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Kate, nice to see you. Loving the new hair.
Thanks. it was good to start. At work, it's like, annual conference tomorrow, so everyone's kind of running around in a big anxiety spiral about like last minute things, And there's a lot of last minute meetings, and it's really given me a chance to reflect on that kind of emotional contagion thing of like, even though I know that I'm on top of my work and I have nothing to worry about, it's quite contagious when other people are just really stressing about something. So it's been just interesting to notice that.
Yeah, that sounds like, you sound really zen.
That's what I like about working from home. You can just like just be in your safe space and detach yourself from other people's drama.
Yeah, other people's drama. So good. So good to witness and not be part of. Yeah, brilliant. Anyone else have anything they want to bring to today? The floor is yours. Esther, I can see you pondering if you're going to share something. It's like, you're kind of going like this, like, do I say it?
Yeah, I literally was.
Yeah, I could just sense it. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to take these off because I'm really weird to listen to myself with headphones on. Yeah, it feels like there's quite a lot going on, I'll admit. But I suppose, you know, life in general. Mm. But I think from my perspective, I'm in a place where I am, and I'm conscious of the time, so I won't go into it too much. But So I'm doing this course, and I've been in quite a happy place in that, although it's felt quite stretchy, I'm quite happy in the learning zone, in the training zone. And I really enjoy that aspect of doing new things. And then what I've noticed is I've had some, because I need to get my practice hours up, but I've had quite a bit of resistance about actually doing that without having covered all the material. So, I mean, it would be really useful to get those practice hours up as you're learning new things and you can then implement them. I haven't done that partly because I've noticed that I've been not ready, feeling like I'm not ready, feeling like I need to cover more material, give a more rounded, feel more rounded in the knowledge before I take it out to practice. So there's definitely an element of feeling ready. And then as I've been going along, I've also then had the feeling of, oh shit, I'm getting behind and starting to get a bit freaked out. And then I've had the, when things have felt a bit stressy, I've been, because I think my kids, particularly one of them, has really become quite needy, I think, because I've been doing other things. And so there's this massive pull on me to be there a lot more for her, attention, emotional support, all of that stuff, I think, just to satisfy her that I'm still there in my role. And yeah, I think it's given me quite a lot of tension, I would say, because I'm feeling pulled in different directions, and it's really challenged my self-concept. And I've also just had feelings like, oh my god, I'm just, you know, it's not feelings, it's thoughts, I'm not cut out for this, oh my god, this is just too hard, I can't do it all, I cannot mother these really intense human beings who are, they are high maintenance, there's no two ways about it. I can't do that and do my own things.
It's an interesting belief to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had an extra kid, would you make room for the extra kid? Or would you just go, no, I've reached my limit. You have to just raise yourself.
Right? Yeah, you make room, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, this work that you've invested in is kind of like a baby, right? Like, it is a growing thing. Yeah. It's an aspect of you that's growing, right? So that disorientation around your self-concept, I think, makes complete sense. It's like you're stretching your sense of who you are. You're no longer a mum and, you know, a caregiver and all of those other roles you play. You're also now a somatic coach, and you want to do that practice. So, you know, it's like, I think it makes sense that self-doubt comes up when we're feeling a bit stretched.
Yeah. I mean, it all makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, I suppose it's an interesting thing that, sorry, I interrupted you, Sass, but I just feel like I'm watching it unfold, and but not in a powerless way, but just in a, oh, look, yeah, I see what's going on.
Mm. Yeah. Does that feel new, like that ability to see what's going on? Yeah, beautiful. I think that awareness is such a great sign. I think you're just on the tipping point of this growth, and that makes complete sense. What I would highly recommend, Esther, is because what you're describing, that I need to know more, I need to be better and all of that jazz, it's very bystander-y, critic-y, you know?
Yeah.
And what I would offer is that come back to the why, right? Come back to what did I enroll in this program for in the first place? What was it about this training that excited me? You know, do I want to just learn how to do this, or do I want to do this, right? Because there is a difference. And I think sometimes we get a little bit caught up in, oh, shit, it's real now. It's already real. You're already a somatic coach. You just haven't had any clients yet.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm struggling with is that I've been in this place before.
What happened then?
I found really sophisticated ways of not doing it.
Yeah.
Or, so not sophisticated, but sophisticated justifications, and then, you know, valid, but not. Yeah.
Well, bringing in the kids is always, like, you know, I always think that's premium, noble stuff, right? That, yeah. Oh, my kids need me. It's like, well, let's let it go now, right? And what I would just offer is, what can you do? You know, that's a good place to start. What can I do? Maybe I'm not building up at full practice yet, but maybe I can take on one or two practice clients.
Mm-hmm.
Is it feasible that my daughter, who does have some needs and wants some reassurance, and is it feasible that she can manage without me for a couple of hours a week? Probably. She'd be all right. I can figure that out. So you kind of get into the zone of what's possible rather than what's ruled out, right? And again, it's, you know, like we were talking about with Hannah, it's that all or nothing. You know, it's either I'm absolutely doing this or I'm not doing anything. And there's probably a balance in the middle that can work for you and for your daughter, and might be a little bit messy and imperfect as you figure it out, but that makes sense because you're making changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to think of it as in terms of the smallest step forward each day to just keep the momentum going, which I have been doing, but it just feels quite a lot. I suppose I'm just aware of the amount of energy it's taking to
negotiate and manage the stuff that's going on in my head.
Yeah.
Feelings around it. And so it feels different this time in that I haven't abandoned it. I mean, I'm a completer.
Yeah.
I do see things through.
Is there a desire you have to keep everybody happy?
There's a desire I have to keep everyone on an even keel, which is a real thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just what I'm feeling that is quite difficult in this. It feels quite chaotic in a way. I think that's what I'm finding most difficult, is that everything's been shaken up. And it's in that, things haven't settled. And I think that's the... It almost feels a little bit destabilizing. Even though it's a good thing potentially that things are renegotiated in terms of home and roles and all of that stuff, I'm really, really feeling not chaotic in a sort of crisis sense, but just in a... Sorry, I don't know if this is making any sense. I'm just trying.
Yeah, you're doing great. We're with you. Yeah. And look, the way you're describing this, it makes total sense for where you're at in this process of expanding your sense of who you are.
Yeah.
I think that it is destabilizing.
Mm.
And I also remember before you enrolled in this course, right, when you were like, I take the punt and enroll in this program? And what if they don't want me? And then what if they do? Like, you're kind of screwed both ways, sort of thing. And it's like now we're in this different space, right? What I love is that you're observing how you're playing this stuff out for yourself.
Mm.
Like, you have a new level of much greater self-awareness around this.
Mm.
And you know yourself. You know who you are. You know you're a completer. You know this work matters to you. You know that you're not going to abandon yourself or your kids. That eventually this probably will settle down.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Cue the big breath.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. And I would just say, you know, whenever things are a little bit kind of jittery like this, often our self-doubt goes, let me come up with all the worst case scenarios just so you're prepared, right? And so, you know, you come back to your healthy adult self all the time. What's real? What's true? You know, what are the facts of the situation? And you get to then kind of sort of settle down into yourself. You know, and I can't help but notice Sharon's dog Lily, who is rolling around on the floor in the most adorable way and wagging her tail. And I think sometimes we just need to do that too, like just roll around on the floor and kind of feel our bodies and, you know, remind ourselves that we're alive and it's okay. You know,
yeah,
you saw, you know, that you signed up for this, you've actively participated in everything that's led you here. These are beautiful choices you're making. Your daughter is going to be so proud of you when she sees you go out and do this work. She'll get it, you know.
And interestingly, sorry, this is you've just prompted me to think about something. When I talk to adults, quite a few adults in my sort of in the periphery of my community, they don't get quite often what I'm doing. And I was talking to a bunch of kids who are about 9, 8, 9, 10.
The wisest humans on the planet, in my opinion.
They totally got it. And they were like, oh, great. Oh, yeah. You know, it really made complete sense to them. And I thought, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Maybe kids could be your practice people. Maybe you could go into your kid's school and do your work, right? Like, you can open up some creative thinking here. Yeah. I love that so much. I have a 7-year-old neighbor who's called Ted. And quite often I'm lucky enough to get a TED talk and he just tells me what's going on in his world. You know, at the moment he's obsessed with space. Last year it was dinosaurs, but man, I get so many space facts and he just is hilarious, but he doesn't know it, you know, very wise little soul. So yeah, kids just totally get it, get the body stuff completely. Yeah. Yeah. That might be a way in.
Yeah.
Let yourself enjoy it.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're so, so welcome, Esther. I'm so excited for all this unfolding. And I don't know a business owner who hasn't got to this point where it's like, holy crap, this is now real and I don't want to anymore. Like, that is kind of like the part of it, right? So, yeah, that's all good. Yeah, let yourself enjoy it on a post-it. Yep, that's absolutely right, Hannah. Love the power of the post-it. Brilliant. Well, my loves, it is the sun has risen where Mary is, so that's an indication that it's morning. And we've come to the end of our hour, but sending all the love. Thank you so much, Hannah and Sharon and Esther, for sharing today. And hey, Mary, it was so lovely to chat. Yeah, so take care of yourselves. And Kate, you missed our earlier conversation, but have a celebration on my behalf tomorrow. It's my birthday. So we were talking about how hard it is to celebrate ourselves. So yeah, go for it. Go for it. Do something to celebrate yourself this week. Yeah. All right, loves. Take care. I'll see you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.